Welcome to the show, Five Shot Fam. I'm AJ, and this is Mark. And wherever it is you get your pods, subscribe, share, and leave us a good rating.
This segment is sponsored by Thinking Man Tavern, a cozy Decatur neighborhood pub. Grab a tasty beverage from a wide variety of selections and a plate of something delicious from the menu. To go, check out Thinking Man Tavern.
Welcome to another episode of Five Stripe Weekly, and welcome Mark back to the show. It's the holiday season. Hope you're having a great holiday season. But yeah, how's it been going, man?
Pretty good. My Christmas is quiet, staying low key in these scary times. So I was personally fortunate, got a couple cool things. You gave me a cool thing, so
as did you. I appreciate you, man. Mark got me an Outcast themed hoodie that was perfect. So love it. But it's nothing but love here. And definitely for me, as you know, I was a little bit under the weather. I think everybody else, as well, pretty much around town, around the world, was probably a little bit under the weather. But on the up, recovering, and thankfully it was not too serious. But let's get into the news from Atlanta United from this past week. And first up is Ozzie Alonso, the former Seattle Sounders and Minnesota United player, who was pretty much like their captain, Minnesota United. In terms of it's a one-year signing. He's a guy that's won MLS Cup. He's won the U.S. Open Cup a number of times as well. Of course, also lost a U.S. Open Cup against us. But, definitely a veteran and definitely someone that it seems like not only, the front office was targeting for a while in terms of for a veteran, but also a player that has played with Gonzalo Pineda, our head coach.
Right.
What do you think about, this move Ozzie Alonso brought in to LA United?
You'd have to think the familiarity with Pineda is definitely a key factor. It's one of those things. I think, especially in the modern times, that in terms of clubs signing players, It does seem to be more of handled by a director or general manager or whatever, but you still need the input of the coach. And so it seems like this move it seems like the kind of move that everybody would sign off on, basically. I mean, I think it makes sense in a lot of ways. It kind of reminds you a lot of Parkhurst joining in 2017. I think at this point, I would say definitely I have a healthy respect for experienced players in MLS, especially at that position. Especially, you often talk about the spine of the team, and so I think having experience in the spine is key. And I mean, like, the midfield, for the last couple seasons has been a little bit problematic for us, and so starting to address the depth from early on in the offseason is definitely not a bad idea. Obviously the big thing is how much does he have left in the tank, but it seems like he's someone who takes care of himself, so we'll see. It's not a bad move.
36 year old defensive midfielder, and definitely someone that's going to bring experience to that defensive midfielder position, and so he can maybe mentor the likes of Santiago Sosa, Franco Ibarra, that type of thing. And, definitely glean them some insight, thing or two. But also, there's going to be a lot of competitions, in the next year. In that sense, of course, no Champions League. But still, definitely, there's going to be those type of, that fixture congestion that we're going to really need to be able to navigate. And having someone that's, very, very experienced maybe isn't going to be like relied on to be, logging a ton of minutes every single game. Yeah, I think it'll be pretty beneficial. So yeah, I co-sign that this is probably a good move. We'll just see how much he does have in the tank, like you were saying. Hopefully this goes more in the way of a Parker's and less of a Lisandro Lopez. And it's definitely it's, you know, hopefully the former. But moving on from that, there are some other slight moves. Dylan Castanera, a former LA United player, now is back with the squad. He's back part of the setup as a backup goalkeeper. Of course, Alec Can signed with FC Cincy, and we let go of Ben Lundgaard. And so, you know, maybe is he, you know, the actual backup, or is he like the third string? We shall see. But he was let go by San Diego Loyal, and it was definitely, you know, something that's, I think when you look at it, he's not a guy that was a backup goalkeeper at the MLS level. I'm not so sure that even though we did draft this guy, I'm not so sure that this was like actually a planned move. This was probably maybe a little bit of a reactionary move in my eyes. Almost immediately after Alec Can signed away, you know, it's a guy that's at least some familiarity with the club. The team probably, you know, brought somebody in that's kind of really in a pinch maybe. But what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it just really seems like they're getting a body in there. It really seems like you were saying, it actually, because at first I was thinking like he's being brought in to replace Khan as the backup goalkeeper. But then, you know, there's Rocco Srios Novo, you know, and Guzan is not getting any younger. And so you start to wonder when is that transition going to happen and when is it going to happen? And so, Castanera, yeah, could at times be a third string even, you know. So it's just, it was a whatever move to me. I mean, I think we expressed how we felt about letting Khan go without getting anything back. And so, yeah, it really just seems like it's just to address that specific roster spot and not much else.
Yeah. And, Rocco Srionovo, it would be a thing where we have to re-sign him, basically, because he was on loan from Lanús last season. So it would be also something that, I mean, it seems like, it's a player that we do like as well. But, yeah, in terms of the large scheme of things, there may be another move, in my opinion, right, before maybe we see Castanera making the 18s, a lot of them. But moving on from that, George Bello was linked with some chatter, at least some inquiries were made on Bello, and apparently Premier League side Watford was one of those clubs. And definitely very interesting. I mean, in terms of Bello, would he deserve a move to a Premier League side? Would he be able to start? I mean, he definitely has been opening some eyes as he's, been part of the U.S. men's national team setup. And at only, that tender age, he's someone that, could be making his move away from the club this offseason, especially when we have Andrew Gutman, a guy who was, did pretty well for the New York Red Bulls, that is that understudy pretty much, kind of as that failsafe in case we do actually sell Bello. So, what do you think? Watford, is this a good move for him if it were?
Yeah, sure, because it's the way I view Watford, right, it's like they come up and they go right back down. Like, they're just not like their Premier League team, but they bounce up and down. Like they're championship plus, you know what I mean? And so I think actually championship level team is probably, I would like feel more confident about if he were to move, if Bella were to move right now, I would feel more confident about him getting playing time at a championship setup. And I think championship is a pretty solid league. Don't get me wrong. I mean, like, it's, you know, it's pretty competitive. Usually by the end of the season, there's a good number of teams involved in the playoff race. Like, and then yeah, it kind of made me think of Anthony Robinson, who plays for Fulham, right? Who we saw recently in the Premier League until they went right back down. And, you know, it's just one of those things where like American players have definitely come a long way, and even if Bella would move from Atlanta United to a Premier League team, that'd be pretty amazing, like for a homegrown player to do that, and others have already made that move, but there's still I think a little bit of a ceiling, and so like we just have to be realistic about that. So I mean honestly, yeah, it would be a good move for him, because I think that that's about where that's like an appropriate level for him and maybe an appropriate step for him at this point in his career.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if a Bundesliga club would be maybe something appropriate where maybe the kind of threatening of, you know, basically being relegated maybe isn't as strong as, you know, there is like, there are some Bundesliga clubs that's definitely, you know, are like stalwarts in that league, and they play the kids, they play Americans.
Right.
You know, that could be a good league for him. Also, you know, he's been linked with Galatasaray, a Champions League club, most of the years. I mean, that would be like a really, really good level, I think, in a sense where he would gain a lot of good experience.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be something that'd be, I think, be more interesting than a club that just hops up and down where, yeah, it's pretty much like DeAndre Yedlin at Newcastle, you know.
Oh, that's a good shout.
You know, mm-hmm. It's like, that's not very stable, you know, but.
Or I was just thinking Josh Sargent going from Bremen, who gets relegated, to Norwich, who's almost certainly going to get relegated, like, you know, and like he's just, I can understand why he would do that move, that's, but again, like that's the ceiling of his personal level probably, like, you know, so not, and I don't mean that to categorize George Bello, you know, they're all different players, but right. At this, you know, it's just I think we definitely do need to be realistic. So, but yeah, I mean, yeah, seeing him outside of the top five, I think leagues would be interesting, or maybe even like a France, Belgium, Netherlands. You know,
I just wonder about the stability after that. You know, it's like probably not something that's. It's kind of like to maybe go on a tangent here, but it's like a Nicolas Anelka. Type of thing where it's like, yeah, you start off you know, at a club, and then you move after 1 year, and then you know, then afterwards you move after another year because maybe the club is too big, and then after that, year after year, you're at a different club, and all of a sudden you're a journeyman. And you know, it's not something that's you know, if I were a player, I'd probably want to look at the you know, the stability of that club to be able to see you know, what's the long-term, you know, type of prospects here. But yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see if he stays this offseason. So stay tuned to hear, as you know, we'll have all those news as it drops. But moving on from that, Jürgen Damm, he was in the news as Chivas apparently was looking at him, and according to our good pal Chris Smith of 90 Min, that move is not going to materialize. And yeah, basically, Dom, he was being looked at, but apparently the wages was just too high for Chivas. And yeah, there are still 2 years left, and apparently, yes, Dom does want to fight for his place here. And so we'll see if that is the case. But yeah, what do you think? I mean, what's your give a percentage you think that Jürgen Damm is going to be able to, move out from LA United.
Very little, like 5%. Like, when the rumor first came up, what was it, last week or whatever, and I tweeted out Bocanegra in if he actually pulls it off. It was in jest, because I knew he wouldn't be able to pull it off. Like, he's being paid a 7-figure salary. Literally nobody in their right mind is going to pay Jürgen Damm that salary. And Jürgen Damm has no reason to leave money on the table. He just doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, why would he take a pay cut to play more somewhere else? Like, I understand why, you know, people, I guess, have the mentality that, like, you know, you should want to play more than get paid or whatever. But, like, this is a career, man. And he may never see that contract again, because he probably shouldn't have never seen that contract to begin with. So
yeah, we probably bid against ourselves.
Really don't understand how this happened. Like, you just go back in time. Like, how are we stuck with this? When what? On a 4-year deal, right? Because you signed in 2020?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
we had to have bid against ourselves. It just doesn't make any sense. But
he was a free agent. Like, he wasn't in football.
Yeah. Like, it's very, very odd. It seems like, yeah, you know, maybe some other factors were at play, and maybe something that we'll never know. But, yep. Yeah, I put that percentage pretty low, too. I don't know about 5%, but I think if we buy him out, yeah. You know,
that's
that's a maybe like 20% chance to me, like, if we buy him out. And I think we should, to be honest.
I think we should. I mean, like, the only thing, you know, obviously, like, there's all the cap rules. We don't know, as I don't know how a buyout would affect, like, the cap this season or what. But, yeah, if there's no penalty for buying him out, just buy him out. I mean, what's the point of keeping him around? I don't know, man.
Yeah, we could take the hit because, obviously, yeah, in that sense, you know, Arthur Blank is going to shell out the checkbook most years. So it's not really going to be too big of an issue. But anyway, moving on from that, Miguel Miron and his wife, they posted a just freaking adorable photo of he and his mini Miggy. I mean, he looks almost exactly like them. It's there is no doubt it's their child. And yeah, I mean, it's like one of those things where it just blew up the internet when they posted it, because it's just like,
of course.
Wow. I mean, they couldn't have produced a kid that, you know, just looks more like them. But, you know, the smile exactly like Miggy. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's wild. But, you know, and there were cries for, not cries, but, you know, people advocating that, we sign him up already. Try to get him in the academy already. Let's go. But anyway, that does it for the news and a special end of year segment. We are going to talk the 2021 season awards. We'll go through MVP, attacker, defender, and young player of the year. That's under 23. And so let's go in that reverse order. All right.
Okay.
Let's keep it kind of interesting here. But young player of the year who's under 23, who's your pick?
Yeah, it's hard to look past Santiago Sosa. I mean, yeah, he came right in. You know, he was a stalwart in the middle. He played way more minutes than he'd ever had in his career before, which is another reason why I think the Ozzy Alonso signing is probably a smart one. And I mean, when he was in there, he was pretty immense, you know. I think certainly probably his fatigue set in, he's, you know, his effect kind of wore off as the season went on, and it's understandable. But I thought he was, yeah, for, you know, we've seen moving from a different league, from a different country, how difficult that has been for other players, and for him to come in and basically cement himself right away and show his quality really from day one. Yeah, Santiago.
Yeah, That's an absolutely great shout, and I completely agree. I think, you know, someone that technically does kind of lie into that category is an Ezequiel Barco. And so, you know, with 7 goals and 8 assists, kind of a, you know, more of a breakout year in a sense than he usually produces. So definitely he would get a shout. But yeah, I agree with you. Santiago Sosa is that guy for the Young Player of the Year. Defender, that's you know, not too easy here either in a way, as our backline was pretty solid. Who are you picking?
Again, it's hard. Yeah, I mean, that's fair what you said, but it's hard to look past Miles. I mean, he's just even if we're strictly talking about Man United and not what he did for country, which was also, you know, he was immense for the U.S. But yeah, I mean, it was just, thankfully there weren't too many games without him, but when he wasn't there, it was noticeable. And, you know, I think also you saw improvements in his game, you know, especially playing that right center back role, making those long passes, diagonals. Yeah, I mean, you're just seeing the evolution of his game. And, you know, I kind of go back and forth as to whether I want him to be like a franchise player and spend his whole career here, or, you know, whether he should go on to Europe and, you know, continue on that way. I mean, I think he has the potential. You know, he is, of course, getting up there in age a little bit. But, no, great season. Great season.
Yeah. I mean, he's 24. I mean, it's, you know, definitely one of those things where, yeah, this was, you know, kind of a banner year for Miles Robinson, not only with the U.S. men's national team, but scored his first goal for LA United. But, yeah, I mean, you know, definite big shouts for George Bello, who had a really, really solid year, as well as Brooks Lennon, who, you know, solidified that right back spot. And then also Alan Franco, who, you know, maybe initially in the 2021 season didn't start off, you know, gangbusters, but definitely became a solid part of that back line where he became really reliable. And yeah, you know, he definitely, you know, I think it was really refreshing to not see our back line just be yellow card machines. You know, it, you know, while he's got maybe a rash tackle in him here and there, it definitely was not like an LGP or Franco Escobar level. So, yeah, no, fully agree with you. Miles Robinson is the guy there. Now, attacker of the year, you know, there could be some shouts here for a few players, but who have you gone with?
So I'll just say, without giving away too much, I'm not going to have any repeat answers on this. So my attacker of the year is Joseph, because, you know, what I mean, leading goal scorer. And even, you know, with everything he was battling personally, again, it was just immense. And the effect he had on the team was noticeable when he wasn't there. You know, and it's not a lot of strikers actually have that effect on a team, have that influence on the team. You know, like you see a lot of strikers that are almost disconnected from the play and are just waiting to score. But Joseph does so much more than that. And when he is up there being that focal point, I mean, it makes, I think, everybody else's job easier. And so, yeah, once again, Joseph coming back from ACL injury to, you know, I think, have that goal type of goal scoring year. You know, like, obviously it's not anything close to what he's done before. But again, with everything he battled, immense, immense effort this season.
Yeah, no, fully agree there. Although, yeah, I give some shout outs, I think, to not only Ezequiel Barco again, but it's not really the full season, but I think you could see the impact definitely when Luis Araujo came in. Definitely changed the side. You know, pretty much it made both wings essentially very, very very dangerous and something that, you know, maybe the cohesion maybe wasn't quite there collectively as a team, but definitely, you know, having that outlet, having that guy who could break down sides like Araújo did, you know, he's that kind of guy that I think once he got into the side, we looked a ton better. We looked like a team that could beat anybody on the day. And so, you know, definitely something that there's more to come from a player like him. But all right.
I mean,
so,
go
ahead.
No, so just real quick. I mean, for him to come in midseason and have that immediate impact, you know, it's, and yeah, from day one, you saw the difference, the influence that he had. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty solid shout as well.
Yeah. And so now to MVP. And yeah, this could be anybody. It could be, you know, goalkeeper, could be defender, attacker. You know, it, there's some players that could have a good shout. You know, Guzan, solid all season, maybe a top five goalkeeper in the league. You know, with Miles Robinson as well there. I know you already pretty much spoiled that you won't be repeating your answers. But and also, yeah, you know, Ezequiel Barco, Jose Martinez, Marcelo Moreno. There could be, you know, a number of guys that, you know, kind of held it down all season. Who have you decided to go with?
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's because Miles, I think, would be a fair candidate for MVP. Joseph is always a candidate for MVP. But I think for me, Marcelino Moreno was Atlanta's most valuable player because of his consistency. Just game, I think, like, at the very beginning of the season, it was kind of like what we were seeing last season. We weren't sure what to expect from him. But I think, especially starting with that Montreal game, and then from then on, it was just consistency, you know, like a little bit Miggy-esque, a little bit Nagby-esque in terms of, you know, his work rate in the middle of the park, on the counterattack, you know, dribbling at players. Then I'll never, I have a picture of it, of the stat that they showed at the bends that we were at in one of the fall games, but leads Atlanta in expected goals and expected assists. Like, that blew my mind. And he finished the season second in goals and second in assists. And so, yeah, I just think that he ended up being quite influential to Atlanta being a fifth seed. And yeah, I mean, like, pretty being decent. I mean, obviously, you know, the season didn't end how we wanted it to, but we were certainly improved halfway through the season. I think he was a big part of that.
Yeah, definitely. And fully agree there that he, you know, as a player, he was noticeable when he was not in the side, and especially if he was on the bench, it would be like, you know, pretty much fans clamoring for him to come on because, you know, you could notice that, you know, we didn't have control in the middle of the pitch, or we didn't have that outlet on the left side sometimes, or just someone that's willing to be direct and, you know, try to make something happen out of nothing. And it really was, at times, some individual skill that, you know, Marcelino Moreno, you know, displayed that was able to maybe get us 3 points, or, you know, solidify a lead. I mean, it was definitely something that he was a guy that, you know, as he ran and as he ticked, we did as well. Yeah, it's hard to dispute, man. Like, it's Moreno for me as well. I mean, you know, Miles Robinson, definitely, you know, there were times, though, when he was out of the side and, you know, maybe a George Bello would step up, or Anton Walks as well. You know, obviously he was, you know, kind of stepping up in his stead when Robinson was away on international duty. So it was definitely like, you know, Moreno had to pretty much kind of carry our attack sometimes. And, you know, it is what it is. I think he deservedly gets that MVP. But what do you guys think? Who are your end of season awards? Yeah, definitely let us know in the comments below. But that pretty much does it for the show, except for the question of the day. And the question of the day is, it's the final Five Stripe Weekly of 2021. And so we want to know, what was your favorite memory of the 2021 season? Let us know in those comments below. And that's it for us today. Thank you guys, everyone, so much for tuning in to us all season long. We appreciate you. We love you so much. And yeah, remember to take care of each other. And for Mark, I'm AJ. Thanks so much for listening.